Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
First, I was a Catholic girl. Loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning. While Mary looked up yearning, I got confirmed and I confessed. I really felt that I was blessed. Plus, I loved my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age. And all those things I thought were true, someday I'd break the big taboo. Oh, letting go of God.
Letting go of God. Welcome to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. We're on WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM, right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. This is a live call-in show. Take a minute to write the phone number down if you'd like to. The number is 865-333-5937. That's 333-5937. And today is January 3rd, 2018. And if you're not listening on January 3rd, 2018, then you're listening to a repeat of the show, podcast or whatever. And on the line, as usual, we have Wombat. So can you say hello, Wombat? Give me a voice check. No. You're not coming through very well there. I've got your volume turned up and stuff. Let's try it again.
Happy New Year, says the Wombat.
Okay, there he is. And I got a level on you that time, so you're good.
Cool.
This is Dyer awesome. 5, and this is, like I say, a digital free thought radio hour. It's a call-in radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanisms, and the sciences. Conversely, we also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in Knoxville or East Tennessee, well, you're wrong.
You're not alone.
You're not alone. There are several atheist and free-thinking rationalist groups that exist right here in Knoxville, and I'll tell you how you can connect with them a little bit after the mid-show break. Also, did you know that there's been an atheist call-in television show broadcasting here in Knoxville? Did you know that, Wombat?
Yes, and I love it. It's so fun. But I'm a little tired of zombie Nazis.
Zombie Nazis.
I think we've done them enough. Yeah, we've done it enough times. Can we just have, like, a good third-person shooter that has no zombies in it?
I think you're looking at the right show.
I like the voice acting. I think it's from the part where you get your head chopped off is a little bit too much, too, but it's pretty fun all around.
Wrong show.
9 out of 10.
No, this is a public access TV show. It's on Comcast Channel 12, I think. And it's going on right now. If you go over to Comcast Channel 12, you should see the show. They changed their night. It's not on Tuesday anymore. It's on Wednesday, and they happen to conflict with us. But maybe we should just call the show from here. What do you think?
I think so. Let's gamble.
Let's combine our forces. They're in the middle of some kind of topic over there. I think they're talking about humanism tonight, and they already have a call-in interviewer.
Boring.
So, yeah.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
But anyway, that TV show has been broadcasting right here in Knoxville for over 7 years now, 7.5 years. And very few people know that, so spread the word. Also, in spite of what Steve Martin would have you think, there are an awful lot of atheist songs out there, and you'll be hearing some of them right here in this program and generally on the station. We usually play one, at least, around the mid-program break, so hang in there and stick with us. What kind of topic are we talking about tonight, Wombat?
Okay, so I thought it was pretty interesting to bring up the fact that you sound like you're an atheist, yet you've been taking a break over Christmas holiday as if you celebrate the holidays. Don't you know you're an atheist? You're not supposed to celebrate the holidays.
I wasn't celebrating Christmas.
You weren't celebrating Christmas?
No, I was celebrating the solstice, the winter solstice, which
maybe
anybody
you still celebrate holidays. What
anybody,
are you
doing? Anybody in the Northern Hemisphere for the last couple thousand years, if they have a celebration about this time of the year, it's because of this winter solstice. Now they may celebrate it by calling it something else, like Christmas or Kwanzaa or Hanukkah or whatever. But basically, the whole reason for the midwinter celebration at this time of year is because the days start getting longer after this point in time. After the 21st of December, the sun stops going south, and it sits there for about 3 days, and then it starts moving back up again, going north. So the days start getting longer and eventually warmer, and it heads back into spring and summer. And that's why the celebration has been going on, like I say, for thousands of years. It's just people in different parts of the world, Northern Hemisphere, choose different ways of celebrating it. And, of course, religions have co-opted many of the celebrations.
Okay, that's pretty good if you're a nerd. Like, everybody loves all the nerdy explanations. But I'm talking about, you know, the true day of Christmas, Jesus' birthday, no arguments there.
There is an argument there. How can you possibly say that? Even scholars will tell you that, you know, from what you read in the Bible, it didn't happen in the middle of winter. I mean, the sheep were in the field. You know, that type of thing. It wasn't the middle of winter.
Are you saying that atheists can't celebrate Christmas even if they want to?
Can't celebrate Christmas? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like, is that what you're saying?
Well, certainly they can, and a lot of them do. They celebrate the pagan portion of it, I guess, or the commercialized portion of it. They celebrate Santa Claus and the reindeer and the snowmen, and there's an awful lot of secular Christmas songs out there. Matter of fact, you could say that any Christmas song that doesn't have Jesus or in it or Noel or something like that is an atheist or humanist Christmas carol. Matter of fact, I've got one in rotation that is called An Atheist Christmas Carol. It's a very pretty song. I may play it at the break.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We should totally hit that up. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking there's a lot of different kinds of holidays that show up during winter season. And there's probably a lot of different kinds of atheists. You might get, for example, atheists such as myself who celebrate Christmas, no big deal. Obviously, when I celebrate it, I don't consider it as like a birthday party for Jesus Christ, but I do celebrate it as like a good get together with my family.
Well, sure.
Good chance to get some good food, rest, see people I haven't seen, love people I haven't had a chance to love in a while, and just have a chance to get some connected togetherness with the people I love.
And any excuse is good for that.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, there is some things because my mom's a Jehovah's Witness, for example, her belief is she doesn't celebrate the holiday, but I will still go see her on around Christmas.
Mm-hmm. And she would be disappointed if you didn't.
Yeah, exactly. She still wants to see me.
Right.
And when I go see her, she doesn't have any decorations up. Mm-hmm. But I'm not forcing her to put the decorations up. It's just I don't need to have them up celebrating Christmas.
Right.
So our Christmas is kind of like just, you know, being together. Mm-hmm. And we don't have a tree up. We don't have, you know, jingle bells playing anywhere. We don't have, you know, any kind of decorations whatsoever or presents that need to be given out. So it's great savings on my end. Still, I have to pay for a lot of dinners and stuff like that. But I'll tell you what, I would say like the inverse of, you know, atheists can celebrate Christmas. It's true where you don't also have to celebrate it to still have a good time and celebrate what the meaning of that holiday is all about. Which I think is about, you know, finding some way to get peace either with yourself or with your family and sharing that peace with as many people as possible.
Yeah, you can make it any kind of holiday that you want it to be. I mean, you have total freedom over how you want to celebrate it and what you want to celebrate at the time. It's just that because it's midwinter break, and you have reason to celebrate anyway, you can still throw any third party reason in that you want to and make it an all kinds of inclusive party.
So I do have this question for you then.
Uh-huh.
The question is, when you say you're an atheist, or if you let people know they're an atheist, there is the question mark of, okay, well, can I wish this person a happy Merry Christmas? Or is Christmas something that these guys, you know, partake in? And I'm wondering, where did, I guess it's a two-part question, where did the sense of ownership with religion and holidays such as these come from? And then, I guess, secondly, would be how to do a good way to broach the subject so that everyone's cool with it, you know, to say, like, Merry Christmas. Or even things like, you know, if someone's a different faith than I am, I can still go out of my way to say, hey, you know, happy Ramadan or any winter holiday.
Yeah, happy holidays is just kind of generic.
Yeah. Well, back that to you.
Yeah, well, what was your first question again? Could you reword?
How did theists come to feel that they own certain holidays? Like,
I think the particular Christian holiday was mandated by Roman emperors, Roman conquerors. They were trying to keep the pagan beliefs out of Rome, and they mandated that you know, they would celebrate a different thing, like Christ's birth, let's say at the winter solstice instead of the pagan holidays that they were used to celebrating in Europe, Northern Europe. And they just mandated it.
They mandated a pagan holiday?
No, they mandated a Christian holiday to take the place of a pagan holiday.
Oh, okay.
They were trying to cut down the divisions that religion caused in the Roman Empire, which is one of the reasons, if not the main reason, that Constantine adopted Christianity to begin with.
Okay. So I'm trying to think about this going back in time. There's the Roman Empire. They are running as much as they possibly can. They're expanding as much as they possibly can.
Uh-huh.
But they're seeing resistance because a lot of the people who aren't necessarily Romans but eventually will have their lands taken over don't necessarily like what Romans are trying to sell.
Right.
And Romans are like, we need to change our brand a little bit.
Yeah, how many people like to have their culture taken over by another culture and being conquered, you know, Roman emperors were trying to find a way of getting them to assimilate without resistance and to kind of outlaw basically their religious beliefs and religious practices and supplant them with ones that are approved by religion, by Romans, was a way to do that.
So
of course, it wouldn't do it in the first generation, but it would the next.
So basically then, Romans basically had to develop a strategy to get as many pagans or non-Christians on board.
Uh-huh.
Because when they adopted Christianity to get a lot of people on their side, they also know that there were a lot of people who didn't want to join up on the Christian cause. So they basically set out means of making holidays that already existed in the pagan world Christian, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So you would take like a winter solstice break or a winter solstice holiday where you celebrate days getting longer and finally the pagans
themselves, had their own gods and they had a sun god, moon god, and nature gods, you know, that they were celebrating about that time of year. They weren't necessarily, I'm sure they were because the pagans were the ones responsible for putting up a Stonehenge and other calendrical shrines, or if you want to call them, that pointed to the very lowest point of the sun, and when it started back again, they could. I mean, like Stonehenge was built around the cycles of the sun, and they were able to tell with quite precision when it was going to be at the lowest ebb and start back, and they had their celebrations around it. But of course, you know, the Romans didn't like that. They wanted them to be brought into the fold of the Roman Empire, and religion was very divisive, wouldn't let that happen very well.
But you kind of made a big claim there. You're saying that, like, Romans basically tried to change Christmas, try to Christianize a pagan holiday.
Uh-huh.
But when I look at Christmas, I don't see anything that's from pagans. What are you getting that from?
The Christmas tree itself is pagan.
Prove it. What do you got?
I can't prove it.
I'm not a scholar
in that area.
Everybody knows in the Bible there was a Christmas tree and it was loaded.
No, in the Bible they say do not adorn. They say in the Bible do not bring a tree and do not adorn it. That's a pagan ritual.
The Bible says right after Timothy that thou shalt not let thy Christmas tree dry out in January, and it says it right there in plain text.
Wait a minute. Said Christmas tree in the Bible.
You plug it in and make sure it's thou shalt make sure it's DC and not ACDC.
I think you need to check your sources.
You want to be better than your neighbor, you want to beat your neighbor's wife.
Yeah.
Okay, so then what kind of ways have Christmas have pagan ties? Because it sounds like to me everyone celebrates some sort of a pagan holiday whether they realize it or not.
Yeah, I agree. I can't tell you the ways. I'm not a scholar in that area, but
I mean, I think I know some.
You do?
I know some.
I thought
I do
you
know
might.
Some.
Tell us something.
Speaking from a person who's been a Christian probably pretty recently compared to you, there is an idea of putting a star on top of a Christmas tree.
Or a tree.
And the star, at least from what I heard when I was in church, typically, refers to the guiding star that guided the three wise men to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But when I was beginning to go through my transition where I was beginning to realize, you know, a lot of things I'm being told by the church don't necessarily make a lot of sense, what does this star actually mean? And it turns out that the star isn't so much anything related to the biblical story, but is actually a very prominent symbol in pagan celebrations, basically. Because, as you said, they worship the sun, mm-hmm. and the star and the sun are, like, more or less one and the same.
Yeah.
And it's more or less just an appreciation for, here's this giant thing at the top of the sky, at the treetops, a giant bright star. And so they will adorn a tree with bright light, along with a giant star at the top, which is what the thing that they covet or at least worship the most in certain pagan sects, the sun.
Yeah.
So that's essentially all of that thing is. It's a reflection of, you know, what they choose to worship. And we, over the course of, you know, human society, as we've come to a more Christian mindset, we've adopted the idea of worshiping a giant star on top of a tree as being the lone star appease a certain biblical story about how, you know,
as usual, Christianity hijacked it. They co-opted it.
Yeah, it's a little bit like that.
Yeah.
But you also have presents and stuff like that at the bottom. Those are fine. But, of course, in pagan holidays, you would also make presents and give those to people that you love as well.
Mm-hmm.
The trees, it's very weird that it's a tree of all things, but, like, what does a tree symbolize, you know? Like, it's life. Mm-hmm. It has, what's the practical word for it? The whole holiday is they would burn, like, bushes and trees and stuff like that. The lights that you put around a tree reflect kind of like the burning embers that you would see on a burning bush.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a couple of other things that we have that aren't necessarily tree-related, but are, like, candy cane-related. Or, like, some of the other symbologies that we would use to hang on trees are very good collections of icons from pagan history that are very long and really in-depth and really interesting. I'd highly, highly recommend that people look it up.
Yeah.
But it's actually just really cool how, like, all the things that we took for granted when I looked at a Christmas tree are, in fact, just, like, icons of many different kinds of cultures of paganism all around the world just being celebrated and adopted as a Christian rite and holiday.
Isn't mistletoe a pagan thing?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that was one thing I was forgetting. And then it's a mind-boggling thing to, like, figure it out. History is so cool, and when you just realize it, you don't know, when you realize how, not necessarily misinformed, but, like, how rich every decision that you've made, or how much goes into the decisions you make, especially when it comes to the holidays. Like when you say, "Listen, I gotta get in my car and get a giant tree and then mm-hmm. bring it back home and then decorate it with a bunch of stuff and then plug it into the wall for Jesus.
Yeah, like, put lights on it and lights all over your house.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, how did this go back to like some sort of biblical story?
Yeah.
So there is that weird disconnect where I think a lot of people just get in the habit of just liking the holiday a lot, dressing up their houses however they can, and then trying to, you know, do this not so much in reverence of God, but more in just excitement of the holiday season and being happy to see their friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they still happen to be religious, they'll throw in a connotation layer.
Well, I mean, you got all the reason you need just knowing that the sun is starting back, it's marched back north, and it's going to be spring in a couple of months. I mean, the days are going to be getting longer. But, I mean, you can dress it up any way you want to. What's real nice about it is that it's in the middle of winter when everything is dark and cold and miserable, and you decide to use some excuse or whatever to have a party and build fires and light trees and put lights up. It's, you know, it's a good excuse to bring light to the darkness and bring mirth to the dreary time of the year. And, any excuse is a good excuse.
So I got this weird question. I don't have a problem celebrating the way how pagans celebrate, you know, where they have all these icons up. But if I was a Christian, I'd be asking, what's the harm of celebrating the way how a Christian wants to celebrate? Like, why can't it also be a Christian holiday? Like, why can't you just, you know, be happy to also celebrate Jesus's, you know, birth or whatever?
And
I'm sure you want to say something.
You go ahead. I'll say something later.
When I celebrate, when I put up a Christmas tree, if I do put up a Christmas tree, I didn't do it this year. And when I put up my mistletoe or when I put up my star on top of the tree, I'm not doing it necessarily to make praise to any kind of moon god or sun god. That's totally, for me, a secular activity that may replicate some things that a lot of people did with the earnest belief that they were doing this in some sort of reverence for a god. But for me, I kind of just adopted it as part of my Western culture and do it in a secular means of just decorating my house in anticipation or in a sense of togetherness with other people who do the same thing and are with their families and have fun doing it.
Sure, it's a social and cultural thing.
Right. And like I said, my mom's a Jehovah's Witness. She doesn't want to do any of that. And so when I went to go see her for Christmas, I didn't bother decorating at all. Because to me, the decorations are important. I could do it or not do it. It's not a big deal. What I'm there for is to spend time with my family. So while I'm happy to decorate on my own, like right now I got a wreath up in front of my fireplace, I don't need to have to do that. And I'm totally fine even if I do or don't. It's not a religious movement for me. It's just a secular way of me having fun during the holidays. That's it.
Yeah. No.
So as someone celebrates Jesus' birth, that's fine for them, but I can't necessarily get on board with that because I don't necessarily believe that, you know, Jesus was my savior. Same thing with someone who wants to worship the sun. They could do that, but it's not my cup of tea. And if I do something that a lot of people see as me connecting with their religious deities, that's not why I'm doing it. I'm just doing it because I like decorating or having fun decorating with my family. And that's it.
Now you were asking me what, you know, you were going to say that, you know, I'm sure you have something to say about that. And the only thing I really have a problem with is that the whole concept of Jesus as our Savior, because He saves us from our sin. And first of all, there's no such thing as sin. Sin is a trespass against God. If there's no God, then there's no sin. We don't need a Savior. Also, it took Jesus, meek and mild, to bring the concept of hell to Christianity, or to Judaism, if you want to call it that. Before Jesus came along, you know, you died and you slept with your ancestors. But once Jesus came along, everybody had to worry about where their soul was going to go after they died. And they were going to either go to hell or heaven. And, you know, if you didn't believe in Him, you'd go to hell. And if you did believe, He would go to heaven and create a mansion for you in His Father's place. You know, it's a whole story that started people worrying about their afterlife and all that. And it's just, we don't need a Savior. We're perfectly good people. We're born whole without sin. We don't need it. And that's the part of it that gets me. But that's just me and a lot of other atheists, of course.
I put them on that boat, too.
Yeah,
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Mm-hmm. I think it complicated a lot of things because, mm-hmm. like you said, we went from a, I would say we went probably from a mindset of when we die, we might be sleeping with our ancestors, like you said. But we want more because while that sounds nice, we also want to worry about what's going to happen to us, our thinking agent self, at this moment. And what I feel like Christianity at least has done recently is not only muck up the waters of not necessarily giving you an answer, but also prevented people who are still looking for solutions in other areas mm-hmm. of the world, such as like science and like, you know, advancements in other forms of technology.
Right.
It's limited and inhibited their ability to do their work. Yeah. And I don't appreciate right. that. That's the only thing, that's what I find mm-hmm. as a major drawback.
Yeah.
So whatever story people need to like complace themselves with what will happen to them after they die, it's fine. They have a right to that, and they mm-hmm. can do that. I mean, country, absolutely. But when they take it to a next level and inhibit other people from getting proper education in school,
mm-hmm.
or keep people from being able to get proper health care, or sexual advice in a education format, or mm-hmm. in access to contraceptives,
right.
and so on and so on, that becomes a problem. And that's why people like us, you know, atheists like us, are known as being upset and go on the radio or have TV shows, sometimes both at the same time, to try to, like, talk about these issues because it's something that's definitely affecting and affecting us as a nation, and the more we talk about it, the better off we will be.
Right. And just as an example of how divisive just having Christmas is, I mean, every year it's this war on Christmas because some people don't want to celebrate Christmas. So, you know, it's not enough that they just don't want to celebrate it. The Christians have to portray it as a war on Christmas, you know. Just somebody wishing somebody else a happy holiday is now considered an affront. You know, it's religion is just so divisive. You know, it's an artificial line that people step on one side or the other, and there's no reason to have that line there in the first place. You can do all kinds of good that religion professes to do without religion. Name one, Christopher Hitchens was fond of saying, name one positive thing that Christianity or any kind of religion does that you can't also do without religion. And you can't.
I'm going to accept that challenge.
Okay.
I'll come back to you after the break on that
okay.
one if you want.
All right, sounds good. And speaking of break, that you brought it up, we'll go ahead and take one. This is a Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM live right here in Knoxville, Tennessee, unless you're listening on a day other than January 3rd, 2018, then it's not live. See, what I was going to play was the Atheist Christmas Carol, so I'll cue that up, and we'll be back in about 5 minutes. Talk to you then. Well, it's supposed to be playing, but it ain't playing. So we'll go back and try it again. Hold on a second. Now, let me find it on my DJ folder. Rotation. Rotation music. Sorry for the silence here. See if we can get it going now. There we go. Enjoy.
Welcome. comes the season of scars and of wounds in the heart, of feeling the full weight of our burdens. It's the season of bowing our heads in the wind and knowing that we are not alone in fear, not alone in the dark. Don't forget, I love, I love, I love you.
You're listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO 103.9 LPFM in Knoxville, Tennessee. Feel free to join in on the conversation at 865-333-5937. That's 865-333-5937. And now, back to the show. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Simply the best.
And we're back. This is Doubter 5. This is the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour and WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM live here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And today is January 3rd, 2018. Now we'll talk about the free thought groups that you can join right here in Knoxville. First, there's the Atheist Society of Knoxville, founded in 2002. We're now in our 15th year. ASK has nearly 800 members, and you can find us online at KnoxvilleAtheist.org, or you can go to meetup.com and search for Knoxville Atheist. It's just that simple. If you don't live in Knoxville, or you should still go to Meetup and search for an atheist group in your town. If you can't find one, start one. Also, you can join Ask in person by going to the weekly Meetup, which happens every Tuesday evening at West Hills Flats and Taps on Kingston Pike near Westtown Mall, where we get together for food, drink, and conversation. Everyone is welcome, as long as you don't come to preach, proselytize, provoke, or punch. Thank you, Atheist Experience. Another large free-thinking group here in Knoxville is the Rationalists of East Tennessee. They've been around for over 20 years. RET has bi-weekly presentations and discussions on the Pellissippi State Campus near the Hardin Valley Road. They meet the first and third Sundays in the Goins Administration Building, Cafeteria Annex. And if that's too much to remember, just go to rationalist.org and click on Upcoming Events. There's also the Sunday Assembly, which started in England just a few years ago and is spread around the world. It's a church where they don't celebrate God. They celebrate life. It's a no-God church setting for those who no longer believe in God, but you can still find the are still like the fellowship of a church-type gathering, and they only meet once a month, though, on the fourth Sunday. And if you happen to be a student, there's the Secular Student Alliance, which has programs to give camaraderie and community to any free-thinking high school or college student who would like to be involved in the free thought movement or would just like to find other free thinkers to hang with. Everybody needs like-minded friends, and atheists are no different. Earlier in the show, we said we'd talk about the Knoxville Atheist Call-In TV show. Well, it's called Free Thought Forum, and you can see it every Wednesday night between 6:30 and 7:30 on Comcast Channel 12 or Charter Channel 192. Or you can watch it streaming online at ctvknox.org. You can also find archives of some of their shows on YouTube, where a fan has been posting them, where you can go to YouTube and search for three words, Free Thought Forum Knoxville. Also, if you're interested in getting involved in the TV show or the radio show, just come to an Ask Meetup or RET meeting and talk to us about it. You could be our next co-host or guest. Also, if you're interested in seeing or listening to this particular radio show, we have them listed as a podcast on digitalfreethought.com, or you can just go to freethoughtradiohour.com, and you'll find the whole list of shows. There's probably about 80 of them out there already. So, getting back to our topic, are you still with us there, Wombat?
Yeah, and you challenged me, and I don't back down! The Wombat has come and has scoured the internet during the break, mm-hmm. and I found, you said that there's nothing that religion does.
Actually, it was Hitchens that says, it was one of his famous challenges. He says, I challenge you to find something that you call good about religion that you can't do without religion, or we can't find a secular equivalent for it without
religion.
Well,
guess what? Mm-hmm. Guess what, Outer Five?
Okay.
Merry Christmas. Merry belated Christmas. Because I got your present right here. I found the most distinctive list from Forbes magazine, mm-hmm. written by some guy named Dorfman, and he has listed, religion is good for all of us. I'm about to tell you all the things he listed, because he's got all the benefits right here, and you're about to eat a whole big humble pie that I'm sending to the phone line.
Well, I'm not Hitchens, but I'll try to handle them. Go ahead.
Okay, check it out. Listen, in honor of Christmas, he begins. He's found a lot of different, and the holiday season, he thought he'd want to write a column about what's beneficial about religion. Not only does it, and he's going to list a bunch of these, but he says not only does it create a lot of jobs, and there's some facts that there's religion that we can all agree on, it's good for the body, the mind, and the economy. So here's the first bit of benefits that you can get. Studies have shown widely that regular attendance to religious activities I'm just going to say that because first, studies have shown that religious attendance once or more per week leads to an extra 7 years of life expectancy, cited by this dude on Forbes magazine. What do you have to say about that?
It's easy to say studies have shown. I could say studies have shown that it doesn't. You know, he's not citing any studies. And I would say that even if it were true that any kind of secular organization or social organization that you would get together with other people and share your special interests with them would be calming on your nerves and maybe help you get a better outlook on life and maybe take it a little more easier going forward. But, you know, there's nothing that you can do in church that you can't do in, like, the Kiwanis Club or you know, some other social group that you can get with. You don't have to have religion to get together with your fellow man and celebrate society with them.
But he's saying that he has religious attendance as a
Well, he can say anything he wants
in
to.
Life.
Yeah, he can say anything he wants to. I don't believe it. I believe that.
But he's correlating these two things. Obviously, that means they've been causing each other.
No, causation and
cause. If these two things are correlated, that's therefore proof that they cause each other.
No, they aren't. Correlation does not necessarily relate to causation. I mean, that's
who?
You know these as well as I do. You know. You're just taking the opposite tack.
He's saying that other studies have shown that health benefits such as stronger immune systems and lower blood pressure are linked to attending church, and also further religious involvement has been linked to less depression and less alcohol and drug use. Look at all these things. There's a correlation between all these good things and also going to church.
Well, okay, you've gone to a website where this guy, you've gone to a website where this guy makes all kinds of claims about religious belief and doesn't back up any of them, and then you bring them up and you throw them at me, and, you know, I don't believe it. You know, I think that even if you did get some kind of benefit from getting together with your fellow man and communing with them, then you could do the same thing without religion, and people do, by the way, and get the same benefits.
Yeah, I would say, let's see, I'm trying to go to two more paragraphs. He throws out a lot of these kinds of stuff. The next paragraph literally says, religious participation by kids has been shown to result in less juvenile delinquency, less drug use, including less smoking, better school attendance, and a higher probability of graduating from high school. Like, he's basically saying this will not only, going to church is not only great, but it'll also make you look
he's basically making a converse claim. They say anybody who's an atheist don't get these benefits. Well, that's just BS.
Mm.
You know, we get,
we
do attend school, we do have good children, they do go to college, and it's just that there's no correlation there. There's, you know, he may have some statistics he can cite about a particular religious group, but he's not saying anything about the opposite. And even if he did at this point, I doubt I'd believe him. Because I know, I mean, I'm a member of the Atheist Society of Knoxville. We have 780 members. I know the members. I know they have good families and kids that go and do well at school. And matter of fact, I know very few problems with the families that compared to religious families that I know of. Now, and if you go to like a prison or a jail,
about
95% of the people in there.
Not yet. I can set you up for that. All right, check this out.
All right.
His next paragraph says, similarly, adults who regularly attend religious services also commit fewer crimes. Again, this comes with huge savings as both crime and prisons are very expensive. They also end up on welfare and unemployed less often.
Mm-hmm.
More cost savings for those entitlement programs.
If it was true, which I doubt. And I mean, if you go to a prison and you look at the population of the prison, 95% of them are religious of some kind. And I'd say better than 80% in America of them are Christian. Now, you have different sects of Christian, of course, but they're basically Christian. Now, if you look at the number of self-professed atheists in prisons, you got 0.07%, which is less than 1%. Of the prison population is atheist. So what does that tell you? I mean, it just throws what he's been saying out the window. There's very few non-believers in prison or jails, especially when you compare them to the large number of believers that are in there.
Right.
Now, you could say that people who regularly attend religious services commit fewer crimes. Well, maybe, because they're not out committing crime. They're in there. But you can say the same thing about pool halls. You know, people who regularly go to pool hall every night, you know, and then go home, they don't commit any crimes. You know, that's a stretch, but he's making that stretch.
If you're running a super church, or if you're even running a church where you're like swindling people's money to, you know, hoard it for yourself so you can buy a better car in the name of Jesus to help you get around, you know, your town and spread the word of Jesus to get more people to bring you money so that you can spread the word of Jesus. Like, in that sense, at least from an atheist point of view, it's not criminal, but man, is it.
It's a scam.
It's a scam.
Yeah. And they use your religious beliefs against you to get that money.
But not only that, but anyone who would say, hey, my religious church isn't a scam, well, think about any other church that celebrates a different religion than you. You would say, hey, I don't believe in them, and what they're doing is really unfortunate because they're lying to their congregation. Yeah. That's what they're saying about your belief. Everyone's saying about everyone else. Mm-hmm. And the bottom line is, you guys can't all be right. So from an atheist point of view, the first person to show what they're saying actually has muster and has evidence behind it, we'll listen to them. But from what it looks like from our point of view, No one's done that. And so everything looks like a scam. Every single person is saying, give me this or something bad's going to happen to you and give me 10% of your paycheck are the bottom worst people that they can imagine. They are essentially victimizing themselves preying on people who don't know any better.
The old and the infirm.
Against them.
Uh-huh.
Right, basically, to steal their money so that they can, you know, spread this lie only for the benefit of themselves. But yeah, it's a terrible thing. Let's continue. What I guess I'm basically saying is, if even if it's not a crime to go to church, there are some churches that run as if they're a criminal organization.
Yeah.
It's a terrible thing. It's a real terrible thing.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, you'll notice that, you know, they take a tax deduction as a charitable organization. But the money
That's
seems
terrible.
To only go in one direction. It never comes out to fund the community. Very rarely. I won't say never. But very rarely does the money come back out to benefit people in need in the congregation or in this community generally.
And let's think about that in real world terms. When you live in a suburb, or if you live in like a home, a complex, or anything like that, you pay something called the property tax. The property tax is used to fund the school.
Right.
Schools in a particular area are largely funded through property taxes.
Right.
So that's why when you go to like really, really nice neighborhoods, they tend to have really nice schools because they're paying a really large property tax.
Right.
And likewise, when you go to like underfunded schools, they tend to be in areas where people don't necessarily pay as much property taxes. Maybe it's mostly just a lot of apartments or slums or et cetera. That money can't be funded properly. It could be, but the thing is, in those kinds of areas, what you may end up having is a very big church or a very big organization that takes up a lot of land and sucks up money from the environment that it's around, and that money doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't go to any school. It goes to the church. Now, sometimes churches are big enough to have their own school, but that doesn't benefit the other people who are around them that don't necessarily have that same religion.
Right, and they use the police department, they use the fire department, and the roads, and everything else that the regular citizens have to pay for, and they don't. And they still get the benefit from it, but they don't have to pay taxes for it.
Right, and it doesn't benefit anyone except for themselves. It's basically the most adverse thing that you would hear, because you go to the church and you say, help me fellow man, do this, help other people, be kind, we celebrate charity, etc.
Yeah.
But the whole premise of what that building represents is nothing but a black hole in what could have been a great new school or a great new library or a great new set of roads, things that people could have all benefited from, but it's instead being sent to one organization.
Right. And
I don't think that's fair.
And we haven't even gotten into this voucher program thing either, that, you know, President Trump he appointed an education czar who is strongly in favor of the voucher program and is pushing it. And every dollar, you know, let's say that you don't want to send your kids to public school, and you say, I want to send them to this religious school over here. Okay, well, they say you can put in for a voucher, and it will give you all the money that the kid would have spent at that school so that you can then turn it around and give it to a religious program. Now, that not only takes money from the government and gives it directly to religion, which is not constitutional, but it also impoverishes your regular public school. It takes money directly out of their pocket and gives it to religious schools, or even just homeschooling, whatever. It doesn't have to be a religious school, but many of them are. And you can be sure that what's her name, the religious education, I can't remember her name, but she's doing it for that particular reason, to enrich the religious community at the expense of the secular community.
Right. We have been talking about churches that give out for or call for charity. That actually leads into the next paragraph of this guy. He says that, again, this is Forbes magazine, an article written by Jeffrey Dorfman. The title of the page is Religion is Good for All of Us.
Yeah, right.
And the next paragraph is, people who are regularly religious attendees give more money to charities than other people, which does much good in their communities.
Well, if you consider a church a charity, then that would be true. I don't consider a church a charity.
No, who's it helping, aside from the church?
Right. And at that point, how many people in the church is it actually helping, besides the preacher or the heads of the church? I mean, in my opinion, they have to prove that they're actually using that money for a charitable purpose.
And again, if they would be giving money out to people outside of the church, you don't need to be a church to do that. You could just do that without having to go to church.
Exactly.
There's no inherent benefit of giving it to a middleman. You could just inherently give your money to people who need it or organizations that help people
help the homeless, if that matter.
No, absolutely. Do you know of any organizations that atheists can subscribe to?
Well, one of my favorites is Doctors Without Borders. They have a very high return on investment as far as money and that they receive going back to communities that they serve. And they don't respect any particular government or country. They just work where they're needed. Also, as far as personal charity, I support the firefighters and the law enforcement agencies in my community, either directly on a yearly or annually donating to them, or buying the tickets for their events, things like that. But there are two organizations that I support directly like that. And there's, you don't have to have religion to do that. And the monies that you give go directly to the community that they serve.
And I particularly like the American Red Cross Association.
Sure.
They have it in part of their principle to not discriminate against, anyone, basically on a history of helping out in the battlefield where they... I'm pulling up their creed right now. The Red Cross, born of a desire to bring assistance without discrimination to the wounded on the battlefield based on international or national capacities for, my phone's acting weird. But basically, they don't discriminate anyone based on whatever their religious perspectives are or whatever their belief systems are with their sectional preferences, et cetera. And anyone can donate blood, it's particularly in ahead of a big, national disaster. You don't necessarily have to do it at that point. You can just do it on a regular basis, maybe like pick two times in the year where you do it. And that blood will be ready whenever there's a big disaster, and it will be ready ahead of time. Or it can help those people in need who need it. Because, there's always people that need blood somewhere.
Right. That's for sure. No shortage of that. We're getting kind of close to the top of the hour. Would you want to, give us some final thoughts about the topic that you had tonight or just in general?
Sure, yeah. Overall, there are atheists around the world that celebrate in different ways because there's different kinds of people, even if they say that they're all atheists, because atheism is just how you would answer one question, whether or not you think there's a God. I celebrated Christmas by basically not celebrating Christmas because I just wanted to be with my mom. And so my Christmas was just about being together with our family. We didn't have a Christmas tree. We didn't have a wreath. But it doesn't mean that I have to do that. It was just the way how I wanted to celebrate it. And other people do it differently, and that's totally fine. But neither of us are the ones who or claim themselves to be secular, didn't do it because we prioritized worshiping a God or a savior. We did it because we wanted to be with the people we love. And anyone can do that, whether you are religious or not.
Right.
And I think that's what the main part of that holiday is about.
Yeah, make it your own. Do what you want to with it. Celebrate any way you like to. You can go with the secular part of it or the religious part if you want to. Yeah, heck it. It's open to interpretation, and do what you want. Don't feel like you've got to celebrate a particular way because your church says you've got to. I mean, it's your own freedom. Do what you want to with it. Celebrate. If you're, again, if you're interested in listening to the past episodes of the Free Thought Radio Hour, just go to freethoughtradiohour.com. And we've got about 80-something of them on there that you can listen to. Different subjects, of course. If you're interested in reading articles written by myself that I've got online that we usually take some of our, if not all of our topics from, go to digitalfreethought.com and click on the blog button. And they can reach us, I understand, by going to digitalfreethought@yahoo.com. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Digitalfreethought@yahoo.com.
Gmail.com.
I'm glad you caught that. Gmail. And if there's nothing else, we probably need to wind on down. Gmail. Anything else before we go?
That's it.
Okay.
Have a great holiday. I hope you guys have a great holiday, and I hope you have a productive year, everybody.
Right. Hope you have a good year. Happy New Year and old year and everything in between. Maybe we'll have a better one than we did last year. In some ways, it's pretty much got to be better. And remember, keep in mind, don't sweat the afterlife, because everybody's going to somebody else's hell. The time to sweat it is when they prove that souls exist and there are places that it actually goes after you die. And to date, nobody has ever proven that. So, until next week, we'll say this is Doubter 5 and Wombat. Say bye, Wombat. And we'll see you next week.
Bye, Wombat.
Bye-bye.
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.